Welcome to May's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our podcasts. We have Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hello.
And Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
So I'm very excited about this month's library chat, and we're going to change it up a little bit. So just to kind of lead up to what's changing is our Friends of the Iowa Library held their annual meeting last month on April 22nd. The Friends meeting, they usually meet monthly, but each year in conjunction with our Elizabeth Prowski workshops and luncheon, they hold an annual meeting to review the year, elect new board members, and host a guest speaker. This year, the Friends asked the library staff to present on the extraordinary lengths we went through to keep the library functioning during the past 2 years of the pandemic, as well as our library winning the National Library Service Regional Library of the Year Award. So because there are 12 of us speaking during this presentation, we decided that for the Friends of the Library meeting, we would do it kind of library chat format style. So it was just library staff sitting around chatting about the last 2 years. And we just thought this would be a fun way to present our story at the Friends meeting, but also an opportunity to record our presentation. And we thought it would be perfect to share for May's library chat. So no book lists to review this month and no podcasts, but a really great story to share from the library staff. So before we launch into the presentation that we did at the Friends meeting, I have a question for Leslie, Tyler, and Denise. So maybe a bit of a teaser for our presentation. So after sort of kind of what we did was relive and review the last 2 years for the meeting and kind of through that presentation, what surprised you most about what came out of our discussion, but you kind of have to do what surprised you most without giving away any spoilers. So as you reflected, because what we did, we sat down and kind of, I don't think we'd ever done that before and really looked at, like, the last 2 years. So was there anything that, like, really, like, sitting here now that we've kind of had that cathartic moment?
Yeah, was there
anything that sticks with you?
I think it was, like, how much we actually got done over that time. Because, like, when you're in the trenches, you don't, you're just going. And so then, like, when you reflect on it, you're like, we did a fair amount over those couple years.
I think just, like, the teamwork involved was pretty amazing. How all of a sudden we were home and then we just kept going. I don't know. We all worked together.
There was a lot of, I don't know, like, you can do this, but I think a lot of it too was Sarah, your leadership throughout that whole process allowed us to do our best, and just the fact of our teamwork together. I cannot picture a better team to be a part of, and we just kind of stepped up every day. We found a way to do it and do it better each time, and to look at, not spoiler alerts, but to look at where we've been to where we are now. Let's just say we're really good at Zoom. We're so good at that. I remember trying to get on there. It's like, I can't figure out how to unmute this or unmute yourself. And just, it was a great time, kind of. You know, it's like you just were open-minded and flexible. I think that was a big key, too.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, reviewing it, it wasn't just like the pandemic piece. It was that we all, in the library, work from this building. We don't work from home or travel like some of the other staff members in the department. So we had to sort out, like, how to work from home. And we had to sort out, like, how to work from home with our entire families also joining us at home. And then this is a little bit of a spoiler. We also had to deal with things like the derecho. But, you know, there's just so many layers to what was happening, and the fact we just kept going.
Yeah. So true. We adapted well, I would say. Mm-hmm.
So any final thoughts before we launch into our library story and the presentation we did at the Friends meeting? Okay. Well, we hope everybody enjoys kind of the story we told and the information we provided about the library last 2 years and other fun topics we hit on. So enjoy our presentation.
Okay, so thank you so much for having us today for your at your annual meeting. We were asked to present on the extraordinary lengths we went through to keep the library functioning during the last 2 years of the pandemic. So I have to admit, I had to pause and think about this for a minute, just even what it meant, because for me, the last 2 years have flown by and are a blur as to what happened when. So I did what I usually do and did a bit of research. So I looked through our meeting notes from the last 2 years and conversations and posts on Slack. And when we talk about Slack, this is software that we use to communicate and plan, the staff uses. So I have to say it was absolutely fascinating dive into the last 2 years. And many times I found myself saying, I completely forgot about that, or how did this all happen in only 2 years? So I will say, okay, so I'm going to try to get through like this without tears, but I didn't get through Kurowski without tears, so just bear with me. So, but what I truly found was reminders and examples of how absolutely amazing this team is. We do a monthly podcast called Library Chat, where we honestly just chat about books and podcasts. So that's it. So I thought this would be a good format for today. And I'm thinking it might be a really good special edition Library Chat if we take the recording. So we're going to use, we're just going to chat. And I'm going to use some of these posts and examples to guide us through the last 2 years. And you'll get to hear directly from this awesome team. So we're going to start with some introductions. So may I present to you the staff of the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled. And I am going to start with introductions, but I'm going to start with Director Emily Wharton, who is here and a forever member of the library squad.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I'm hoping I'm an honorary member at least.
not just honorary.
yeah, I'm Director Emily Wharton, Director of the Iowa Department of Blind. I was really stoked when Sarah asked me to be on this panel with everybody because this has been, also I love this trip down memory lane because I'm forgetting a lot of the past 2 years too. But just to reminisce about all the wonderful things that they've done and to get to hear that again is really great. So,
we'll just pass it down.
Hello, I'm Leslie Neitzler and I am the Special Services Librarian and I'm very happy to be here today.
Hey, Tyler Sweat, Accessible Media Specialist and Game Show Host.
So I'm Denise Bean, and I'm the Youth Services Librarian here at the agency. It's so funny, because when we do all this library chat stuff, clearly we have to test our voice volume, whether it works or not. And Tyler is always, he's so funny, because he's so, you know, not loud, but you know what I mean. I get nervous when the microphone's in front of me.
Oh, thanks. I'm Angie Houck, and I'm the Technical Services Librarian here at the department.
It's not me.
No, it's me. It's
what do we have on?
I'm Karen Ice, and I'm in audio production.
Jerry Cole, Braille Transcriber and Instructional Material Center.
Karen Cunningham, Instructional Material Center Librarian.
I'm Jody Aldini. I'm the Access Service Librarian.
Tim West, Digital Recording Specialist.
Thank you, guys. So I have to pause for a minute and just tell you how much fun I'm having right now that I have, like, this group lined up. And I have, like, questions for them and all sorts of stuff. I'm kind of on a power trip. Okay. So we're going to start in March of 2020, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in 2020, whether you want to or not. So On March 12, 2020, we had our first official COVID update. We removed Legos and puppets from the youth library and canceled all in-person programs, and it just ramped up from there. So I also believe that the Friends of the Library quickly and efficiently moved their meetings and worked online as well at this time. So the week of March 16, 2020, we had to make a lot of decisions quickly. I mean, quick. We had library staff meetings, team meetings. I met with each staff member. We had programming planning meetings and scheduling meetings. I don't know how vivid that is in your mind, but my calendar lights up when I look at that week. We had to prep for leaving the building starting on Monday, March 23rd. So one thing that did happen that week, though, we were relieved because we had gotten the okay to have at least two or three people in the building in the mornings to meet the mail truck, prep books to go out and keep them circulating to patrons. So I did have to look at my calendar and again, meeting notes, remember everything that we packed into that week. So at a Monday, March 16th meeting, I said, none of what we're going to discuss today is going to be easy or simple, but I'm glad. It was 2 years ago. But I'm glad I get to work through it all with you. I can't think of a better team to sort this all out and make it amazing. Wasn't that very, like, what is the word? Premonition? So in our meetings this week, I noted we set some goals that we got our work and plans. Adult services and outreach, our goal was keeping our patrons connected with people and books. Youth services and outreach, our goal was keeping youth connected with learning Braille literacy and books. Instructional materials, services and outreach, we're going to use this time to reach out and provide training and information to our educator partners. And then on March 20th, 2020, we held a staff meeting where we got quick training in this room. If you remember, we were all spread out throughout this room. We got quick training on laptops, headphones, and other equipment we would need to work from home. So here is our first Do You Remember? Patron services team. So Leslie, Tyler, Denise, Angie, Jody, do you remember prepping circulation cartridges with labels and cases so we had plenty ready for patrons? Prepping machines so we had them ready to go out? Making the decision to up the number of books per cartridge to 20 in case there were delays with the mail? And planning and scheduling the IDB read program? Thoughts? What did I forget?
It's on.
Oh, it's already on. I remember that very well. And one of the things that I always worried about was getting machines out. But, you know, we took two days that week that I would come in on Monday and I would make sure that, I took all the applications home with me eventually and did them from home. And then Monday mornings, we'd do the mail, make sure the machines got out. And then Tim and Jerry on Wednesdays would do that, make sure the machines got out. So, and we had staff meetings every week, didn't we? A Zoom staff meetings every week. So that was really helpful.
Nobody can remember that.
All I know is that we were here making sure that everything moved forward and all the needs of the library were met outside of the agency. We just wanted it to not miss a beat in anything that we were doing for our patron, because we wanted to keep going without any glitches. And I think we mastered that by increasing our stories that were on the cartridges up to 20, which is a great idea. And no, we just had it dialed in, lots of meetings, and I think communication was pretty awesome at that. And didn't we have a mouse?
We'll get to that. Okay. Don't worry.
So suspenseful.
So I won't forget at the meeting when we all spread out.
Yeah.
Was when after the meeting, Denise was like, so this would be like 2 weeks, right? Denise, I don't think this is going to be in like 2 weeks. But I think like also being, once we all got home, I was at least shocked like when we started taking the phone, like how many calls we got from Illinois and other states that were like, so I live over the river and
yeah,
can I get some cartridges?
We'll get into that a little bit too in a minute. Yeah, lengthy calls.
So this is Leslie. I remember that meeting that Tyler was just talking about, and I think it was Tim's work anniversary, and I had brought brownies. And I remember thinking, should I have made these brownies? Because, you know, didn't seem safe at the time, but we all ate them and we all are here, so. But I also remember everyone's willingness to, when we set our schedule to come into the building one time a week, how everyone was very willing to be flexible and pick a day, and then how it just worked out so easily, how we were all able to make that work with our schedule. So I thought that was great.
Okay, audio team, Tim and Karen Max, do you remember assisting with the planning of IDB reads, prepping home narrators to continue recording, moving to Zoom to record podcasts and other audio? Your thoughts?
Well, so one of the things I was able to do was I had a recording set up at my house, which I've had for years, and made it real easy to do things like the BrailleBits, and library news. We were able to record things just over the phone and by way of Zoom, and basically keep things going. We loaded a computer up for, we had an audio editor, and gave that to him to work on, and Karen was able to take a bunch of stuff home and edit audio on her computer. So I think that's it. It's a blur for sure.
Okay. Instructional material. Karen, do you have anything to add? I don't want to leave anybody out.
Not really. I started to learn how to do an awful lot of editing and was able to, you know, one of the first things I thought when they said working from home, I thought, okay, so we won't be recording in the studio anymore, so it'll be editing. What do I have that I can edit? We can convert old cassette books into digital books, and I can finally get a few hundred old-time radio shows done.
Okay, thanks, audio. So Instructional Materials Center team. So we have, and I have to tell you, I just realized I forgot two people to introduce, so pause. Roxanne Book is our male coordinator. If only. Our Braille coordinator. I think our male would be much more successful if Roxanne was coordinating that. Our Braille coordinator. And then Leland Smith is our instruction material service specialist. And they are not with us today, so I don't want to forget them. So Instructional Material Center team. So Karen Cunningham, Jerry Cole, Leslie and Angie too, Tyler sometimes. Whoever else we rope into that work. Do you remember planning a 2-week paraeducator training to be done online and ending up doing three different classes or three different times? Also discussing how to use the IMC block to reach educators we work with wherever they were going to be at because we didn't know. What else do you remember?
Well, I just wanted to comment on the paraeducator trainings. It was like perfect timing because, you know, we had a captive audience and it was a perfect opportunity to provide some training to them. And I think that they were all very successful trainings. And I think they all learned a lot during that time period. You know, Jerry was in here, running the Braille assignments off for the student materials. Mm-hmm. So he would receive all of the mail that came in from the volunteers and contractors that had Braille materials for students. And so was able to keep that going. So thank you for that, Jerry.
Okay. I didn't see anything else.
Tyler, you had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, so with the paraeducator training, I thought it was, you know, like a quote that I had from my teaching days was fake it till you make it is kind of the thing where we kind of like had an idea that was really good and we really had to like just kind of get in there and do it. And I thought once we kind of got rolling with it, by that third one, we were nice and polished and the whole program was was perfect. So, yeah, no, that was a fun experience, though.
Okay. Absolutely. That's a
job giving yourselves enough credit here to get back on
it. I feel like I got to write on these books because this is an idea we actually had a long time ago. Remember, I have a folder for it in our leadership team folder where we started talking about doing paraeducator trainings. But, you know, we're in the middle of a crisis, but this opportunity arises. And I always tell folks, if you want to get something done, you know, whatever do it. They just snapped in and made it happen and just kind of made all the pieces come together. That was something that we wanted to do for such a long time. And I think that, you know, what's that saying that the character for crisis is the same character for opportunity in Chinese. And they really just put that into play there and really, you know, just whipped it right up. So, you know, it didn't seem like you were vacant until you made it. she covered up that pretty well.
I have a quote in my office on one of my whiteboard dots, and it's every crisis is an opportunity. So here you go. So you services, Denise, our mighty team of one, and whoever else she ropes into being on camera, crafts. So Denise, do you remember planning to move programming to online to this mysterious world called Zoom? Beginning the discussion of moving to an all virtual summer reading program and what that would even look like, and then conducting Zoom interviews to hire summer vistas.
I just want to. When I talk about the kids and doing things for them, I just can't say how much I, with all of my team. All of my team friends or both, and Sarah,
you know, you're the guy.
No, Sarah, you're my friend too. She's the boss. No, I just can't tell you. Working with these guys, I feel so not alone in what we do. And yeah, you immediately think you're the little crank. Wheels in your mind go crankety crank clump and all that stuff, and you think, okay, no, I can do this. We'll just figure out a way to get around this. And you always are thinking about them and for them. What do they need? And I think if you have the spirit to think, what do they need, you can do anything to make it happen for them. And asking a lot of questions, you know, of others. And Tyler was a huge part of success. Huge part of success. His calming demeanor is so welcoming, and optimism is so appreciated. And I am grateful for him. And Sarah, her mentality around everything that we've done is always very open and inviting to change. She lets you just change. But you got to have her approve it, though. When you change it, you know, that's super important, but she lets you run with it like crazy. But and you guys all know that, right? You guys know that. But Tyler, when we get into those, remember the Zoom meetings we do on Makerspace and all that? Oh, and then Sarah would take over on STEM and stories. We'd always have guests in for communities.
Yeah. I will say Tyler and I have different styles of producing Zoom.
I have to laugh at this one Saturday morning. So we were in early. We had to get ready to go. We have a guest waiting, kind of getting ready. We're getting everything staged up, and we're trying to find the camera, right? Or something we needed or something. And we're thinking, where's the camera? We got to do this filming and stuff. And it was just funny because, well, that's Tyler. No, because we love you, because you do such a great job, and we found it. It was all good. Everything was good to go, but creativity, connectivity, and just heart for what you're doing, and be really ready to change with the times, with everything. And man, when you see their faces, when we did the summer reading program, that's what it's about. Yeah.
So one final thing before we left the building. There was a discussion on Slack. So a question was posed to the group about the dress code of when you came into the building and you were just like one of two. What should the dress code be? We decided hats, yes. Tuxedos, absolutely. So we had to get that squared away before we left. So also during this week, we developed a staff schedule for coverage in the building for mail and a schedule for answering the library phone. I just want you to know that this would be the first of over 10 different schedules we would have during the next 2 years. So on March 23rd, we moved our offices home to basements, bedrooms, kitchens, and got to work. I'll just ask to the whole group if you want to briefly weigh in. Do you remember your home office setup? I do. At my house, there were four of us at home. One couldn't return to college and was doing online classes. My husband is a teacher, so he was teaching high school online, and then I had a high school student. So we all decided we needed different rooms to make to survive this. So I got the basement. After a few weeks, I said, I will not be in the basement anymore. So I moved to my bedroom. So that is where I was. Anybody else want to share your setup? Or do you not want to share?
Since I have the mic, I'll hold on and share. I was up in our master bedroom at a desk, but I have, my wife's also a teacher, so she was at home teaching her high school kids and a kindergartner that she was also teaching, as well as he would have been, what, two at the time, two-year-old, who every once in a while I'd be in a meeting and all of a sudden the door would just get busted open and wander, both of them would come rolling in. The dog liked to hide in the room with me a lot because she felt safe because she didn't have other creatures trying to bother her. But yeah, it kind of worked out. So
I was home alone.
It was
I could be anywhere I wanted.
It was your world.
I started in my living room where I had a dining room table, and then partway through I rearranged some of the furniture, and then I decided I still didn't like that too much, and I moved to my basement where I hung a fabric wall to keep the warm air in because it was winter by then.
Your basement must be better than mine. Mine's terrifying.
My basement is semi-finished. So I was in the sewing area of my basement. So yeah, I can no longer do jigsaw puzzles on my break as easily, but I could maybe sew a mask. So.
Mine was a little bit of a whirlwind. I had just closed out my house. I had no furniture. because they refused to deliver it. And then it took another extra 30 days to get the mattress after they delivered part of it. Then I had to put a drainage system in my basement because it's flooding. So it was quite fun.
So I just want to comment that, you know, just from these little pieces, I know everybody kind of has their different stories. So we were at home with maybe a lot of people or a lot of situations or no furniture, but I can tell you with this group, the work didn't stop. If anything, they had only gotten started. So I'm going to move on to a couple dates to note. A bittersweet day on March 23rd, one day after we started working from home, I posted pictures to Slack of our new furniture for the youth library arriving in the building. So on March 25th, NLS, National Library Service, posted a map of the country, and it showed less than 10 libraries were open at that time. So this was actually going to get worse over the next few months, thus calls from Illinois. I also posted a picture of me wearing a fabulous mask that Karen Ives had made for us to wear when we were in the building. So that's going to take us to April, and messages from patrons started coming. One patron thanked us for all that we were doing and stated he did not know what he would do without his folks, especially at this time. Another one said we made a huge difference in her life and she would be lost during this crazy time without her books. So I think I speak for all of us that these messages meant a whole lot, and I know we had more than just those two. And I also don't want to forget that in April, Tyler posted to Slack that the mouse nest with the babies had been safely moved from underneath the mail lift and relocated. So I'm going to move into May. One of the things that happened in May is our library was chosen to participate in the Marrakesh Treaty pilot. And that takes us to summer. Do you guys remember what happened on June 8th, 2020?
We came back to the building.
Yes. The library staff returned to the building. So I just want to ask really quick, how are you feeling? I can remember being in the building when there was just two or three of us, and it was a different feel. I can say when we came back, though, it like almost compounded the quietness because now there were more of us, but not everyone. So that was how I was feeling. I don't know if anybody wants to comment about the return to the building.
I was happy to be back.
I was happy to be back too because I was sharing my office with the Rottweiler, and every time she heard something outside, she started howling. So when I had the phone, it was real fun to try and get her to shut up. So, but it was almost like coming back to a ghost town.
Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of people came back for 1 or 2 days. You know, not everybody came back every day all at once. So, but it was. It was good to come back and see some faces that you haven't seen in months.
Right.
I have to say, though, when you come back in your element, you're more cautious about, okay, what am I touching? Who's touched this before? Your awareness is different than before. You had kind of a different mentality about things and germs and stuff, but it was good to be back.
Yep. Emily.
So when we started talking in April about when we're going to all come back to the building as a part of a leadership team, and then, you know, we talked about how we're going to message it and how we're going to, you know, arrange things and how we're going to create policies and procedures and trying to follow the guidance coming up from down from the state, trying to understand it. that whole process, I remember very distinctly, it was, you know, like, so how are people going to be coming back in? And the library team and you all were the ones that were really I've seen canaries in the coal mine, but you were so now that your test subjects or anything, but you'd already worked on how to, you know, kind of figure out how to, you know, negotiate spaces and do things like that, and gave a lot of information for how we could do those guidelines. And then you were just so gung-ho to get back in, and you know, and definitely there's some nervousness and you know, uncertainty around it, but you were also committed to making sure that you could do your jobs as well as possible and making sure people as well as possible. That it really I think that it led the way for the rest of the agency and helped to you know, inspire the other folks. So
I describe it as being in sync with what we needed to do.
So we can't leave 2020 without this one. So I'm going to set the stage for this. It was a typical Monday. It was a typical Monday in the mail room. Angie, Tyler, and I were in the super duplication room working away. Now the super dupe room is kind of in the middle. There's no windows, no outside doors. When our cell phones started blowing up with weather alerts, we decided to peek out the mailroom door to see what's up. We were greeted by a scene out of The Wizard of Oz. And we also could not get said mailroom door shut again. Because why not on August 10th, 2020, should we not have a derecho? So a lot of things happened that day. A lot of staff had to deal with things that happened at their homes. Some of us didn't have power for a very long time. So I'll just leave it at that. But what I want to mention again, and that's with everything with this group, again, was dealing with at home. Trees through roofs, no power, never missed a beat here. And I want an example of that is on that same day as the derecho, there's a picture that Tyler posted of Denise hosting Makerspace Monday. So we just continued on. So before we leave 2020, I want to share some stats with you so you can fully understand what this team accomplished during a pandemic and an ever-changing world. 549 new patrons, equaling 5,728 registered active patrons, 562 barred users, answered around 10,330 phone calls, some from our basements or wherever we are working, produced around 557 titles in audio and braille for the collection, completed 2,150 IMC projects, managed content for two blogs that had 3,378 visitors and 14,996 views, produced three podcasts, 33 episodes that had 9,554 listens, created, produced, and uploaded programs, videos, and trainings for YouTube with 9,282 views. Not done yet. Despite a pandemic, we never missed a day of getting books out to patrons or answering their calls and emails. We also participated in the Braille e-reader pilot. We have pictures on Slack of when those arrived via mail. And we even waited onto Facebook and Twitter. So are there any final thoughts from 2020?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Have a rock star turn on the microphone. talking about taking turns coming in on the days, but we didn't mention that when we were doing the super dupe and the cartridges that we had to wash everything. We washed all the cases, we washed all the cartridges, and we washed everything down when we were done. So, you know, that took a lot of time, but if it helped, you know, prevent some, at least one person from getting COVID, it was worth it. But I think we did that for almost a year, was wipe the cartridges and the cases.
Right. And the last thoughts, 2020, and what you've got.
I just wanted to say too that one of the things that was asked for when April started to hit, and we were asked for like weekly updates on our agency's activities from the legislature, and this is right during the legislative season when before the budget is passed, which is always my least favorite time of year, and so I'm working really hard to try and get folks to submit information and stuff like that. And the one place that I had the most information and things to share with the legislature, and I think that made a really big impact too with them, is the, you know, the reports from the library about all the things that y'all were doing. And that I think that those notes that Sarah was reading from patrons, I mean, they made me cry. And I know that that was really appreciated, you know, by, you know, everybody who's reading those reports too.
Thank you. Okay, on to 2021. So 2021, it wasn't as dramatic, is that a good term for 2020? So let's start with, first we hosted a virtual Braille challenge. In 2020, we were able to do the Braille challenge in person before things shut down. But for 2021, that one was virtual. And I think it went well. And then this year we actually did a hybrid. So keeping a piece of both. In April, we hosted the Elizabeth Prasky workshop and luncheon virtually. And now feeling very confident with our Zoom skills, I would say, we hosted virtually the National Library Services Midlands Western Regional Conference. We coordinated 20 plus presenters and 200 participants through Zoom World. So that's one I don't reflect too long on. That's stressful. but prior to the conference that we hosted, we learned some information and we had a secret. We had a secret we had to keep. We knew that on May 11th, 2020, during the conference, the National Library Service Director at the time, Karen Kenninger, would be presenting us with the National Library Services Regional Library of the Year. I remember that day I had you all come into this room right here to tell you the news, but I didn't tell you why I was calling you all together, which, you know, could be very ominous. So I think I did say it's good news. So I couldn't even get through the stats I wanted to share with you before I was in tears. So I had not even told you the news yet, but I was so happy for all of you and humbled that our work was being recognized. So I was just so excited to tell you that, that news. So do you remember that day, and do you remember keeping the secret and then when we received the award? Any of that? All of that?
All of it. Whatever you want to comment on.
I told my wife.
I just remember how emotional you were. And
yeah, Laura,
you were so emotional, and you just, anytime that you talk about what is close to your heart, you get that way. You try not to, and you get close sometimes, but yeah, I just, that's because it's coming right from there. She's proud of everyone.
And I think why I was probably more emotional, well, I can't say for sure, but this award was for the work, just to be clear, was for the work we had done during 2020. So I think that really struck home as well.
One thing I realized, it wasn't bad news because you brought donuts. But Sarah is very passionate about the library and the things that you know, we do and that we get done. And, you know, she's just a great person to work for and work with. So she works right alongside of us. She gets dirty right along with us. So.
I'll stop crying.
I'll be crying. Anything else? 2020 or the Library of the Year Award?
Oh, I can't not come out.
That's fine. So it was starting to become a little bit of a running joke between Sarah and I that we were going to, because we'd applied several times, and quite honestly, I've been really writing letters of support for the library and getting this award. I've been becoming increasingly emphatic and impassionate about why the library deserves this award. And in 2020, I was really like, come on, y'all. And we were joking that we were gonna, you know, put in our wills that people had to keep applying for this. because I just felt for so many years that y'all deserved it so much with everything that had been done with the whole transformation to digital and the entire process that we went through in 2017 and everything that y'all have been through and accomplished and achieved. When Sarah came into my office and told me that y'all had won it, I started jumping up and down. I was so excited, and it was
I can confirm that there was jumping.
There was jumping, yes. And I was so excited for y'all that it was killing me not to say anything. And she's like, how should I tell them? And she's like, oh, we can get everybody together and do it. And she's like, you know, just set up a meeting. And I'm like, yeah, you probably do want to say it's good news. But just watching everybody when she and watching Sarah cry when she's going through the stats, and it was really great to be able, because I can't say how much y'all deserve that.
Did you guys know? I mean, did you know what I was going to say or why I was crying over stats? Were you concerned? I've never asked what your thoughts were on that whole situation.
Right, you do cry over stats, though.
No, I like stats. Oh, okay. So Library of the Year. So to round out 2021, just a couple things, highlights. We moved the large print collection to its new location. Good times. On September 15th, 2021, our first fish arrived for the aquaponics system, which we jokingly say Tyler and Denise now co-parent.
He's a better parent.
They are considerably larger than that first day they arrived. I will say that. On October 5th, 2021, we finally got to cut the ribbon on the new youth library space. And honestly, we tackled so many more projects this last year. I didn't list them all. We expanded programs, developed new partnerships and collaborations. And I think a lot of our success in 2021 can be contributed to what we learned in 2020. So I don't know if anybody wants to comment on what you learned in 2020, 2021 that you used today or what we improved on because of that time.
I think we just need to mention also in October of 2021 that Sarah received the Distinguished Leadership Award from the Iowa Library Association. So we were all very happy for her, and she is well deserved.
I did.
Emily jumped up and down for that one too.
She did.
I did.
Any thoughts? What you learned, or what we do better because of 2020?
Well, during 2020 is when I got obsessed with aquariums in my house. Because I was like, because it was just something to do, and my kids loved it, and they helped me with it, and so then we get these fish. The department had a vast amount of YouTube videos I had watched at that point that it helped me get the fish into the best possible situation. So yeah,
I can say we were good at communication. I think we're even better now as a team. And I will also say you guys are like ninja decision makers. I've never worked with a group that can grab the information they need, talk it through, process it, make a decision, and go with that direction as quickly as you guys can. And I don't know if we just had that in us and 2020 brought it out, or if we improved on that skill, but I will say that one too is great. Anybody else?
And I also think that being able to rely on each other so comfortably and feeling confident that they, it does a, did you?
There's a microphone more right now.
I know.
No, I just wanted to comment on how it was great to connect with the paraeducators, that training that we did. I think really, you know, it made them a lot more aware of everything that we do. There's so much that we do with the library. And I think to have those connections that we made were just really fruitful and has you know, helped strengthen the relationships and made it better for the students.
Yeah. We definitely did a lot of connecting outside of our agency, even though we weren't going, you know, we did strong connections.
So just a So Denise doesn't have a mic. She's refusing a mic.
I just think
she says connecting with outside of our agency really was what we started doing in 2020, and we continue today. I paraphrased for you.
Thank you.
Well, I was just gonna reiterate what you said, that we, you know, our communication is a lot better, and you know, when somebody posts something on Slack, people are right on it, you know. And but we, you know, we're a well-oiled machine. We work so well together, and if someone needs help in some other area, you know, it's not above someone else to go say, hey, well, I can help out. So you know, we just work well together. We can rely on each other. And
do you guys remember on the Slack the thumbs up?
Yes, the thumbs up emoji.
It's like your new thing, the thumbs up icon. Yes,
that means when we use a thumbs up on Slack, it means it's been taken care of,
yeah,
dealt with. So next month, another library will be named Library of the Year, and they will earn it for doing amazing things, as libraries do. And knowing this group, as I think I do, they won't stop doing Library of the Year. That won't work. I'm not going to look at you guys. They will top what they have done and raise the bar. And I look so forward to being part of what we do next. So just final thoughts on what are you looking forward to for this year and into the next?
Can I say something?
Yes. Actually, I'm going to do questions in one sec. So final thoughts into the next, on to the next.
They won't give back-to-back awards for Library of the Year. And they won't. You don't think?
Yes, thanks. I
don't know. I think I do see that all of us are just going to do some really see that I can't think anymore. I just see all of us, and then even connecting more to those outside of our team in the agency too.
There's just so much opportunity. I think you're always looking ahead at what lies there, like untapped. It's untapped. And I can't do anything without any of you guys, that's for sure. No, I mean that. Hey, Jodes, I need a craft thought for this. I'm shut down. I mean, you're not, you know. And I say, Sarah, what do you think of this? Or Leslie, what do you think? How do I make a list? Like, what? You know, and Leslie has this remarkable way of being so, how do you say it, calm. That's why I appreciate her. She's calm. But anyway, I know with you guys, we can do anything. That's what I know. And Sarah, of course, Sarah.
Still talking.
So one thing that I just so much treasure about the library and you all, it's as individuals and a team, is the ways that I just don't think people understand the many, many ways that the library supports our department as a whole. You know, having the person at the front desk is very obvious. There's, the handling so many of the different infrastructural things that, and Sarah in particular, we have a little bit of a challenge and need something covered, and Sarah's the one that steps up and does it in the midst of doing all this other rather regular library work, right? And so just that, you know, Kim will make a jingle for a podcast for somebody else. You know, there's just so many different things that contribute so much to the operation of our department. And we're probably, I don't think there's another agency for the blind across the entire country that has their library built into them. And why are they all missing out? They are seriously missing out because it is such an enormous asset to our agency. It supports our VR, that supports our IL so much. And this is coming from somebody who didn't believe in libraries in the blind 10 years ago. And y'all have really changed my mind on that. So I just wanted to say again, thank you.
And thank you, Emily, for your support. I come to Emily with some wild ideas sometimes. I usually try to come with some sort of plan, but sometimes I'm asking her to put a lot of faith in our abilities and to, I think somebody said the other day, have some courage. And it kind of takes some risk with us, and she never hesitates to support us and to help us. So for somebody who didn't believe in libraries 10 years ago, welcome to the library squad. So that takes us to present day and to all of you in the audience. So what questions do you have for us? And I will bring a mic around.
Sarah?
Yes, Don.
Yes. First off, I want to thank your entire staff for their openness and honesty to be able to share this with us. It's a you know, it's like setting in on a family gathering as an outsider, and the openness that you shared with us, I really appreciate that. So thank you for the last 2 years, but also thank you for today and what you did. And then as follow-up to that, I want to ask, have you had a session like this before where you went back and looked at what you did? And if not, did you find this somewhat cathartic? Did you find it, were you afraid of doing of what you might have explored on this? And then the final question, and I'll shut up, is someone said that for every crisis, there's an opportunity. Has this changed your approach to how you identify opportunities and that you'll be able to carry forward in your as you approach things as they come along? Again, thank you, everyone, for your sharing.
Thank you, Don. So I'll talk about, have we gone down memory lane before? So Emily and I actually sat down and recorded. She had questions for me probably a year ago. Yeah, just looking at 2020. So I have kind of gotten to experience this. But full disclosure, the staff really didn't
know what they're getting into today. And that was by design. Like I said, we do library chat, and we've had almost everyone be part of that. And this is a similar format to that. But I really didn't give them, I gave them a couple clues as to what was going to happen. So I thank them for being open and willing to share too. And your last question. So we are, and you guys can answer this too, but we are a group, I just joked about this the other day, of problem solvers. We can't help it. Sometimes we are solving problems that probably really aren't ours to solve, or we're asked to participate in solving, but we're gonna help you out. So I think for us, we are always probably more so now, just going through the last few years, but always kind of in that mindset of how can we improve this? And I know a lot of us have talked about, you know, our kind of mission is always leave it better. So how can we leave a situation, even a small situation or something for a patron, how can we leave it better? But I'll stop talking too, so you guys can answer that question.
I have a comment.
One of the things I think that we do well is, you know, when you talk about problem solving, it's like something happens and then you react. One of the things I think our library has done is we've thought ahead, and we're doing things before there's problems. We've been innovative. There's things that we've done that the National Library Service has now started to follow, doing the same things that we started doing 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. So I think we have a mentality of being innovative besides being, you know, problem solvers.
And I agree. And I'll use the example of the virtual conference we hosted. We had already jumped into Zoom. Like I said, we're pretty much experts at that point. I'm not sure there's anybody else out there in Western Midlands that could have done what we did. So we do always, I will say, seem to be a step ahead, 5 years ahead, wherever you want to go, of some of the what's happening out in the world. So sometimes we are, I don't want to say too far ahead because that's not the correct wording, but we're so far ahead that we have to sometimes pause and wait for people to catch up. Any other questions?
This is Cindy.
Yes, Cindy.
Well, I just loved hearing about the period of the pandemic because, I don't know, when I worked in the library, it didn't always feel quite as united as you all sound now. It seemed like everybody in the library was really working hard to pull together, and it certainly paid off. And certainly, I know there's got to be tough moments, but I really appreciate and am inspired by what you've done and what you continue to do, especially integrating some of our service with public libraries, but just in general, the things that you do just continue to be innovative and something that I think all blind Iowans can be proud of.
Thank you. Any last questions? Well, I'll just end really quick and say just thank you again for the opportunity for us to share and talk about the library today. We do love doing that as well. So thank you again to library staff for sharing and being part of this today too. And Emily, thank you for joining us as well. Thank you.
Anything else, Jim?
Did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to offer one more comment. In 2020, you know, I participated in a lot of Zoom meetings from around the country, and I can support what you were saying about the other places. Other people would say, I haven't been able to get a book for 5 months. And I said, well, I'm in Iowa, I haven't had a problem. but then also I agree at some of the conventions, I attended both the NFB and the ACB national conventions virtually last year, and they'd come in and we'd hear about the super duper. I can definitely recall people saying, "Oh, well, we took that idea from Iowa. They thought why put one book on a cartridge? And so it's just that it's just so great when you're in these national meetings and hear that people commenting and realizing that they're recognizing what you are doing, even though you don't know it. So I think people are, I know there were people who were jealous of us there for several months in 2020 and that, but there is some recognition beyond the library world of what you are doing. And as Cindy said, I think we should all be proud of you and recognize that, because it's, we're not only seeing it here in Iowa, but we're seeing it around the country. So again, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for our May 2022 Library Chat episode. Thank you for joining us for a special presentation from the library staff. If you missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast is available on our library blog at iowalibrary.blog, and you can also find episodes from other library podcasts like Library News and Braille Bits on the blog as well. Thanks for listening, and we will chat with you next month.